Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining with us as we open up the Word of God together. Today our scripture reading is found in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, commencing at verse 1 and reading to the conclusion of verse 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Amen. We conclude our reading at verse 9, knowing the Lord will add his own blessing to his own precious, inspired, and inerrant word. We're going to look to the Lord for his help in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before Thee in the precious name of Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, our God, for our glorious Saviour. We thank Thee for His deity. We thank Thee that He is God of very God. We thank Thee that He is also true man. We rejoice in Christ as our great High Priest, Prophet, Priest, and King. And our prayer is that as we meditate upon Thine own word at this time, that Thou'll be pleased to come and to bless each one who listens. Lord, we ask for Thy presence, ask for Thy speaking voice, and we ask all in the name of Christ and for His glory alone. Amen. In the 9th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we read about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, a man who was the great persecutor of the church in New Testament times. We read how the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Saul in all his glory, and how Saul was smitten to the ground, humbled and broken by the glorious presence of the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one thing in what is said by Christ to Saul in this wondrous event that I want to think about in our time together. In Acts chapter 9, verse 5, the Lord Jesus Christ tells Saul, It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Those are the words we want to think about for a little time. By way of introduction, think for a moment about the man to whom this statement was made, Saul of Tarsus. We know him also, of course, after his conversion as Paul the Apostle. Saul of Tarsus was undoubtedly a remarkable and notable man in many ways. He was born in the city of Tarsus, which was located in that part of the world that we call Turkey now. He tells us elsewhere that his family were of the tribe of Benjamin. Also says he was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the Hebrews. These people were zealous for the God of their fathers and strict in their faith. Another remarkable thing about Saul of Tarsus' family is that they had gained the benefit of Roman citizenship. That carried privileges not available to others in the Roman Empire. For example, when Paul was arrested and imprisoned after being beaten in Philippi, the magistrates, on being made aware of the matter, were deeply troubled because they could have been in serious difficulty. On another occasion, Paul told a surprised Roman officer who had arrested him that he was a free-born Roman citizen, and the officer was startled in that he'd had to pay a great price for his citizenship. We're not told how that citizenship was obtained, but it's certainly possible that it was bestowed on the family because someone in the family had performed a notable service for the Romans. In addition, in thinking about Saul of Tarsus, we know that he'd been sent to Jerusalem for his education at the feet of a man called Gamaliel, one of the foremost teachers of that day. And it seems that he excelled, because in Galatians chapter 1, verse 14, he tells us himself that he profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. However, Saul of Tarsus became an early opponent of the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ and the early church. He became a persecutor of Christians. He was there as a witness when Stephen was martyred. Many other Christians also became the object of his wrath in the days that followed. The scriptures go on to tell us, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to prison. And so it is this chapter that we have read together begins with the words, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And it was in the course of that journey to Damascus that Christ appeared to Saul of Tarsus, and as a consequence, he was brought to saving faith in Christ, and indeed was called to be an apostle." Now, it is these words which Christ spoke to Saul that we're thinking about. "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." What do these words mean? What do they tell us? Well, firstly, they tell us about the power with which God had been speaking to Saul of Tarsus' conscience. When the text says, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks," it means that God had been speaking to Saul. He'd been speaking to him in a way that troubled his conscience. The image of kicking against the pricks is taken from a practice in agriculture at that time. In those times, oxen were often used to pull ploughs or other implements, but sometimes, of course, they could be stubborn or awkward. And so the driver would carry a long stick or pole with a sharp point at one end, called a goad, an ox goad, and it could be used to encourage a bit more effort by the animal with a jab from the ox goad. Naturally, the animal would not like this, and sometimes the animal would kick back against the goad, causing itself injury and pain. So Christ's statement to Saul indicates that God had been speaking to him. God had been disturbing the conscience of Saul. What God had been saying had been like the jab of the ox goad, and Saul had been kicking against it. It is through the word of God, the Holy Scriptures, that God speaks to the sinner's conscience. For example, on the day of Pentecost, as related in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, after the preaching of the word by Peter, we read these words, "Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Do you see it? When the people on the day of Pentecost heard the preaching of the word of God by Peter, they were pricked in their hearts. They were troubled by the Holy Spirit as God's servant proclaimed the word of God. God worked in their hearts and consciences and lives, and on that day, 3,000 people were converted. And this is the sort of thing that was happening in the life of Saul of Tarsus. In the midst of all his opposition to the gospel and his persecution of the church of Christ, God had been speaking. God had been troubling him. The means that God uses to speak to us today is still his word. applied to the heart and conscience by the power of God the Holy Spirit. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, we're told God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There we read of both the work of the Holy Spirit and belief of the truth. The Holy Spirit always works in line and through the Word of God, through that Word that He Himself has inspired. And the Holy Spirit will never contradict what He's given to us in the Scriptures. Now, Saul had heard the preaching of the gospel. He was certainly present as a witness when Stephen was martyred. He tells us he was there. He was there to hear Stephen's defense. It is most likely that he heard Stephen preach on other occasions. And Scriptures tell us that those who opposed Stephen were unable to resist the wisdom and spirit with which he preached. It's also plain that Saul would be in contact with other Christians as a persecutor and would have to hear what they had to say. In any case, we see from the words of Christ in Acts chapter 9 and verse 5 that Saul was troubled by what he heard. What he heard had got under his skin. It was getting through to him. It was troubling him. However, instead of listening, Saul began to strike out even harder at the church and the preachers of the gospel and those who followed Christ. He was kicking against the pricks. You know, it is the part of the preacher, part of his task, not merely to present facts, but to seek to apply the Word of God to the conscience. The preacher is not a lecturer, merely presenting facts. He seeks to bring the word home to the hearer's conscience. That's what Peter did on the day of Pentecost. He confronted his hearers with their sin, the sin of having rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And he spoke in such a way as they were pricked in their hearts. The preacher is, of course, dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit. Unless the Holy Spirit works in the heart and conscience, anything the preacher says will have no lasting effect. But when God the Spirit does work, it means the Word of God will trouble the heart. As you hear the Word of God, as you hear the gospel preached, as it's applied to individuals, you perhaps will know your heart troubled. You'll be pricked in your heart. And if wise, will reply as the Jewish people did on the day of Pentecost. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And I must ask you then, if God has been speaking to you in this way, has the Holy Spirit been showing you your sin through His Word, showing you your need of pardon? Has the Holy Spirit shown you that unless you repent and own Christ as your Savior, that you are condemned and without hope for eternity? Has the Holy Spirit been showing you that you need to come to Christ and to come now? May I ask if you've obeyed the Holy Spirit and God speaking to your heart? May I ask, is it not wise for you to heed what God is saying to you? You see, in speaking to you, God's been gracious. God in His grace and mercy would speak to your heart and would implore you to come to Christ and be pardoned and forgiven, delivered from the guilt of sin and the power of sin and the eternal punishment of sin. So we've been thinking about the power with which God spoke to Saul's conscience. But let's move on. Let's think secondly about the painfulness of Saul's resistance to God's word. The painfulness of Saul's resistance to God's word. When the Lord Jesus tells Saul of Tarsus, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, we are reminded that it was not an easy course that Saul had launched himself upon when he resisted what was in effect the work of God in his life. As the Lord said to him, as our text said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. As we explained before, when the ox began to kick against the goad, against that sharpened, pointed stick, inevitably it would pierce itself, perhaps very severely. Now, ordinarily, any use of the ox goad by the owner or driver would be carefully measured. He would not want to cause injury to the animal. The animal would be extremely valuable to him and not easily replaced, so he had not want to apply it viciously. But when the animal kicked back, it could cause untold damage to its own leg. It was literally hard to kick against the pricks, and the harm was done to the animal itself. And that's what happened to Saul of Tarsus. He made things hard for himself as he tried to fight against God. The more Saul fought against God, the more he suffered. We read about how he felt in several places in the Acts of the Apostles. At the beginning of the chapter, we read about him breathing out threatenings and slaughter. In Acts 26, verse 11, in speaking about those times, those earlier times, he tells us that he was exceeding mad against the church of Christ. We see the state that he was getting into. Persecuting the Christians was his way of kicking against God's speaking word. God used his people. God used their witness to speak to Saul. And Saul seems to have thought that perhaps if he could silence them, if he could silence their voices and close them down, that thereby he could silence God's voice. However, it's evident that Saul felt no better. Indeed, it left Paul in a more distressed state than ever. It was hard for him to kick against the pricks, and God knew it, and God saw it. It was no easy thing for Saul to resist God. He was agitated. He was angry. He was unhappy. He had no peace. And God knows the reason why. It's because he's resisting God's work in his life. He has placed himself in a hopeless position. He's fighting with God. May I ask, is that what you've been doing? Are you resisting what God has been saying to you in the Scriptures? Do you react strongly against the Word of God and the presentation of the Word of God? Are you, in effect, fighting with God? Are you like Saul of Tarsus, full of fury against the gospel? Is that how it is with you? You must know that you cannot do well in doing that. It's hard. It's difficult. You bring ruin upon yourself. Elsewhere in the Bible, there are comments made that apply to this. We think of Acts 5:39. But if, that's the gospel, be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Or Job 9, verse 4 in the Old Testament. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? You cannot do it. Or Isaiah 45, verse 9, which tells us, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. You cannot successfully fight against God. You only bring eternal ruin upon yourself. And the remarkable thing was that this man, Saul of Tarsus, was a religious man. A very religious man. And yet he's resisting the God he claims to serve. And you may do the same sort of thing, even being a religious person. Because what you find in the Word of God is contrary to some ideas or notions of your own. Do note that this resistance to God can lead to certain consequences. On the one hand, God in grace could do with you as he did with Saul. What did he do with Saul? He brought Saul to a full stop on the road to Damascus. God could in mercy intervene to humble you and to bring home to you the greatness of your spiritual need. And that's God working in grace, bringing home to you the depth of your need and bringing you to an end of yourself. On the other hand, God could stop troubling you. He could leave you as you are. He could stop speaking to you, and that's a disaster. We find the psalmist in Psalm 28, verse 1. The psalmist is praying there. He says, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. What a statement that is. The psalmist is saying that for God to stop speaking to him is to be like those whom God has abandoned to hell. That's a fearful situation to be in that God no longer speaks, as illustrated for us elsewhere in Scripture. We think in the Old Testament of King Saul, the same name, a king in Old Testament times, and how he came to the place where he cried, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams." He's sore distressed. He's in trouble, and God has left him in his distress. In the Gospels, we read of how in the days before his crucifixion, Christ appeared before King Herod. Luke 23 tells us of it. It says, "And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing." Herod wanted to see Christ and to ask him questions, and did ask him questions, maybe hoped to see a miracle, but Christ had nothing to say to him, nothing at all. And I would suggest the reason for this was because this was the man who had had a preacher sent him called John the Baptist, and his wife didn't like what he said about her, and so he had his head chopped off, and he closed the mouth of God's servant, and Christ had nothing more to say to him. So we see there's times when God deals with us by stopping speaking to us. And no one is in such a terrible condition than the person to whom God has stopped speaking. So that we can say that if God does speak to your heart, if the word of God does disturb you and you're conscious of your need of Christ, I urge you to come. God's working in grace. God's working in mercy. God has not forsaken you. Come to Christ. Come now. Even now where you are, come to Christ. And then lastly, having looked at the power with which God spoke to Saul's conscience and the painfulness of Saul's resistance, we think of the peace that comes with Saul's obedience. And you'll never find peace until you know Christ as Savior. When our text says it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, it's saying the road you're on is a hard road. You need to leave that road. You need to stop resisting the speaking voice of God in the Scriptures. Peace of heart and mind come with heeding and obeying the Word of God. The Word of God shows us our sin and guilt and calls us to repentance, calls us to trust in Christ. It reminds us that Jesus Christ came into the world to take the guilt of our sin on himself and to die as a substitute on the cross. In the Old Testament times, people brought animal sacrifices to atone for the wrongs they had done, but those sacrifices could not really deal with sin. They merely pointed to the one who would come, who would deal with sin and offer a greater sacrifice. And Jesus Christ is that one. As John the Baptist said as he looked at Christ one day, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Peace of heart and mind come for the sinner when we come to the place of turning from sin and putting our trust and our faith in the atoning death of Christ alone. You cannot have peace of heart and conscience until you know that you've done what God has told you to do. And it's told to us very simply, for example, in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, where it says, "Repent and believe the gospel." You cannot rest easy, knowing you have nothing to fear, unless you have obeyed God's word. That word tells you to repent. That means more than be sorry for your sin. It includes that, but it means to have a new mind, a new attitude to sin and to Christ, to turn away from what you were and to turn to the Lord Jesus. Earlier we quoted from Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, as told in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 37. Listen to it again. "Now when they heard this," that's the gospel, "they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" And what did Peter tell them? He told them to repent. And then there must be a trusting in Christ. We remember in Acts chapter 16, the jailer, the Philippian jailer, cried out to the imprisoned Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What did they tell him? They told him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That's what you must do. There must be trust in Christ. There must be a resting on Christ for there to be peace with God. There must be a turning away from dependence on anything to do with self and a full dependence and resting on Christ. Saul of Tarsus yielded to the claims of Jesus Christ. He was converted that day and his life was changed. He experienced the new birth. He became a Christian. He became a mighty apostle with a new name and a new life. He found peace in Christ, and by God's grace, so can you. There can be no true enjoyment of peace without obedience to God's word. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23 says, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it might be well unto you." That's God's purpose in speaking to you. We think of Deuteronomy 5, verse 29, where God speaks again and says, "Oh, that there was such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." That it might be well with them. That's God's purpose for you. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for thy dear Son, and we thank thee for his atoning death on the cross. And we thank thee for the gospel you've given us to proclaim, and we thank thee for the work of the Spirit in our hearts. And Lord, we pray that as thou didst speak to Saul of Tarsus, that thou would speak to those who listen at this time, that, Lord, they might respond as Saul did and come to know and trust Christ as his Savior and Lord and to receive a new destiny and indeed a new name as a child of God, as a Christian, as one who belongs to Christ. We ask all these things in our Savior's name and for his glory. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.